At this point, I could tell a few stories, but I'm going to refrain from all of them, other to say that we really love Gerard and Jeannie and just so look forward to them coming. They wouldn't have chosen the road that God has taken them, but through their suffering, it's how God has enabled them to reach people in a very deep way, people who suffer very badly. And so wherever they go, they find that people who've really suffered all sorts of different but very hard things in their lives, they've been able to reach them. And we thank them for being willing to do that, and we love them. So give them, again, a big hand.
Thanks, Nick. Thank you, Nick. So I want to just repeat what Jeannie said about the worship. We so enjoyed just the time. Thank you, Barbara, and everyone else in the van, just to join with you in lifting up the name of Jesus. That's what I want to share about this morning, just lifting up the name of Jesus and seeing more of him, having a wider and a bigger revelation of him, because it's when it comes down to it, it's all about him. That's something we've experienced on our journey. And through the suffering and through the pain, that's what we've seen so very, very clearly. It comes back to Jesus Christ and knowing him. So, Phil, I've got a few slides. Some people don't prefer not to have slides. If you don't prefer not to look at those, that's fine. I guess it helps me a bit, but also it helps other people. Sometimes people like the sort of order of seeing where we're going. So we're going to start off with a couple of scriptures, if we may, and I'll just read those out. This comes from Ephesians 1. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So four things I want to just bring out. Firstly, in the first part of that, we just go back to the first slide there, Phil, that you might know him. And the him there I want to talk about is Jesus, that you might know Jesus. It says in Scripture that God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. So it's the person of Jesus Christ that is our goal. The Apostle Paul said, I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Secondly, I want to bring out that talking about the eyes of your heart. You know, we see the natural world with our physical eyes. We see the spiritual world with our eyes of faith, or the eyes of our heart. So it's through the eyes of our heart that we can see the spiritual world, or the eyes of faith, if you like, that we're able to see and understand. So Paul's saying, I'm praying that your eyes would be open to see these incredible things that God has given us in Jesus Christ. This incredible power, that's the first thing. There's a power that's working within us. It's an unseen work. Jeannie and I have the privilege at the moment to be living near the ocean. And I always like to tell the story. We look out over the ocean. We love to see over the ocean. And if you didn't know any better, you'd look out and you think, well, there's just water there. But actually, underneath the water, one of the great things I was able to do with Rebecca before she went home was scuba dive. And I've been under there, and I know what's under there. And it's a whole other world, beautiful, magnificent world. It's just amazing. And it's a bit like that in the spiritual world. We don't see it with our natural eyes, but there's a whole other world that's going on all around us. If God chose to open our eyes now, right now, you'd see a few angels around in this room, listening in, watching. There's a whole other world that's just through there. And the Apostle Paul says, I want you to start to understand these other things that are going on. And then the last thing I want to point with these scriptures, it says the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That's the end goal that we want. We want to see Jesus, not only to be seen, but to fill everything in every way. Can you just imagine for a moment, just here in this part of Tufnell Park, if all the darkness was pushed out by the light, what a difference that would make. See, when light comes, darkness cannot hang around. Imagine in India with 1.28 billion people. With light, if light filled that land, all the darkness would go. Just like that. That's the end goal. There will be a day when that happens, when the knowledge of Jesus will just fill every part of the world. When Jesus reigns here for 1,000 years, praise God. But we're looking to bring in his kingdom now, don't we? We're looking to see his kingdom come in now. So I want us to look now at the grace of God. If we go to the next slide, Phil, if you will. So first of all, what is it? You've probably heard things like, well, it's God's riches at Christ's expense. Has anyone heard that phrase? And that's true, that Jesus took the punishment that I deserved and you deserved. He died on that cross in my place. And through his blood, the forgiveness of my sins, that I might come into relationship with God. He didn't deserve it. I deserved it. And he took it on himself. So that's true. You may have heard the expression that says God's grace is his empowering presence that allows you to be the person that God wants you to be and to do the things that he's planned for you to do. Has anyone heard that phrase? No, never heard that? Well, that's Nick heard it. I've probably heard it from Nick, actually. But that's true as well. You may have heard it in a more simple way, that God's grace is literally receiving from God something that you don't deserve. You heard that one? Mercy is not receiving what you do deserve. Grace is receiving what you don't deserve. But actually, what I want to talk about this morning is something that I've come to see and understand very clearly, and that God's grace in its simplest form really is Jesus. It's Jesus. And we'll look into that a bit more as we go on. How does that grace come to us? Well, it comes to us by the Holy Spirit. Remember, when we come to know Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. Which we've got God in us. It's amazing. We said Emmanuel, didn't we, earlier on in one of the songs, that God is literally inside of us. Amazing. We're carrying the very presence of God. That's why Jesus said, you are the light of the world. He said, I'm the light of the world. Now you are the light of the world. You're carrying my presence with you. As Gina and I were walking up, we were just touched again at this tremendous presence of God that is over this school and over this part of London because of your witness and your testimony. It's an unseen with our natural eyes, but there's a huge spiritual light that's here that holds back the darkness and brings in restoration and redemption to people. Amazing, isn't it? That's God's presence that's here. It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, he will take from what is mine. Do you remember what he said there? I think it's John 16:14. He'll take from what is mine. He'll make it known to you. So when you have that revelation, you're reading through scripture, or we were singing earlier on about looking up at a sunset or seeing the moon and the stars, as the psalmist said, I look up and see the wonder. What is mine that you're mindful, man, that you're mindful of me? You see something of God and his glory and his beauty in creation. That's the Holy Spirit who makes that known to you. When we're singing sometimes, you get a touch from God. I had a touch earlier on, and just it's like the Lord drawing near, and maybe you feel you're going to cry, or maybe you do cry. That's the Lord drawing near, the Holy Spirit stirring inside. It's the presence of God that's with us, the Holy Spirit who makes Jesus known to us, and he loves to do that. But I want to concentrate now on a few points. I want to concentrate on the why. Why is God's grace poured out to us? What is this all about, if you like? So if we go on, Phil, if you will, I'm going to go through 5 areas, if I may, and particularly concentrating on those 2 of those 4 points I mentioned from those scriptures, that we might know him better, that we might know Jesus better, and that we might make him known better, that through our lives, more people would come to know him, that through our lives, this light that's within us would be ever more light, even more light that's shining out. The more that we can know Jesus, the more he fills our lives, the more light is going to come out and change the environment around us. So the first thing I want us to look at is that why is this grace of God poured out? Is so that we can be his ambassadors. His ambassadors. Gene and I were just walking yesterday, actually. We did a long walk around Hyde Park. and ended up walking down a road where there's a lot of embassies and where the ambassadors are. Massive, great big buildings. In amongst them was Roman Abramovich's house. He's a Chelsea owner. But there's all these great big mansions there where the ambassadors are. We all have a mansion in heaven, praise God, waiting for us there. But we are ambassadors here on earth to represent the King of Kings, to make him known, to let people know what this amazing person, Jesus, is all about. He said, I want you to be my witnesses, to tell other people what I'm like and to make him known to other people. So we're doing that not only to the watching world, people around us who see you at work or see you in your home or see you on the street, not only to the people who see us with their natural eyes, but actually also to the unseen world. So we read in that scripture there in Ephesians 3 and 10, it's God's intent is that now, through the church, that's through you and me, the manifold wisdom of God, who is the manifold wisdom of God? Jesus. The manifold wisdom of God may be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Where's the heavenly realms? Well, it's the unseen realm all around us. Okay, it's one of the phrases the Bible used for the heavenly realms. It's an unseen world that's all going all around us. That we made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So literally, through you and me, we are educating the spiritual forces, good and bad, about the wisdom of God. Isn't that amazing? They're watching in. They're watching in. And through our lives and how we live, they're learning about the great wisdom of God. And they're saying, goodness me, what's God up to next? He's taking that unusual person, Gerard, and he's working in that person's life. And they're learning about God's wisdom and God's purposes of salvation. Isn't that amazing? That's how God's working. Do you remember the story of Job? Some theologians think that Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And do you remember the story? It says the counsel of heaven came before God. And Satan was there as well. And God said, what have you been doing? Where have you been? That was a rhetorical question because he knew what he had been up to because God sees everything. And Satan said, I've been going to and fro through the earth, watching and seeing what's going on. And God says to him, well, did you see my servant Job? Do you see his great integrity? Do you see how he's given me glory? He didn't use those words, I'm paraphrasing a bit. He's given me glory. Giving God glory is literally revealing the beauty and the loveliness and the wonder of God. He's living for me down there. Can you see that? You see that he's proclaiming my name. And God said, Satan said to him, well, he's only doing that because you've put this hedge of protection around him. Take it all away and then see what happens. You see, he'll curse you. And so God gave him permission. Amazing. Gave Satan permission. And you know the story of Job. He was ravaged. Lost all of his possessions, all of his children. And later he lost his health as well. What was the goal of Satan in that time? Do you remember? What did he want Job to do? To curse God. He wanted Job to stop giving God the glory, to stop proclaiming the name of God. And Job struggled. Yeah, he did. But nevertheless, at the end of the day, God was pleased with Job. And he got back twice as many of all of the camels and all of the sheep and all of the donkeys and I've missed another group, but anyway, he gave a double. He had 10 children, and he only got 10 children back. Do you know why that was? Because the 10 were in heaven. He got 10. He got double back for his children as well. Praise God. You see, Rebecca and Alex are waiting for us in heaven. They're not dead. They're more alive than we are. Praise God. And time, when there's no time up in heaven, there'll be when we go to see them, they'll say, oh, well, there you are, Dad. What have you been up to? Where have you been? I don't think they'll even say, where have you been? They'll just straight away. You know when you're with good friends, you immediately, don't you, connect again. Do you know what I mean with good friendships? And that's how it'll be with them. No, they straightway that we'll be back and just connecting again. So we're here to be ambassadors. We're here to reveal Jesus to those who can see us with the natural eyes, but also to the unseen forces who are watching. What an awesome calling we have as ambassadors of the King of Kings. Isn't that amazing? And God's watching us and wanting to give it all that we need that we can bring his glory here on earth in revealing Jesus. The next point, let's move on to the next one. So the next point is so that Jesus would receive all of the praise and the glory and the honor. So in these scriptures in 1 Peter 1:6 and 7, it's one of the great questions that people ask. Why is it that good people go through bad things? Why is there suffering in the world? Well, these scriptures, they answer that. They answer that. So it says, in this you greatly rejoice. I think that's referring actually to the scriptures that came before, where it's just talking about heaven and talking about the inheritance that we have. In this you greatly rejoice in what's coming. Praise God. We've got incredible future stretching out through eternity. In this you greatly rejoice, though for a little while you may have had to suffer in various kinds of trials. Has anyone suffered any trials here? A few honest people here. Well, blessed of you, bless you, you're having a good time. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with being on the mountaintop. That's all right. God takes us through seasons. Sometimes it's going wonderfully well and everything's fantastic. But then sometimes things don't go so well, do they? And it's hard, isn't it? And Satan said, oh, God's forgotten you. He's deserted you. He hates you. And that's a one big lie. He's just a liar and the father of lies. No, he hasn't. God's working in you something incredible. And this scripture says, these have come, suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come. These trials have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, there's that thing, faith again. You see, faith is seeing the things that are unseen. Without faith, we can't even please God. God's working on this thing called faith, that we'd see Jesus more clearly. Not just in our head, but actually in our hearts. We'd see Jesus more clearly. Our faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in what? Praise, glory, and honor to Jesus Christ. That's what our goal is, isn't it? That he may be exalted, that he may be lifted up in our lives. I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I hope I can connect here on my iPhone. I tend to use this, I hope you don't mind, for my Bible. It's so easy. But you remember the story in Daniel 3, if you want to read it with me. Daniel 3 was a story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And just by way of background, you remember that the Babylonians had come and they'd attacked Israel and they'd conquered Israel and they took off all of the top, if you like, the cream of the people, the young people, particularly the young men. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were part of that group, as was Daniel. But this, we're reading here about those three young men. And while they were in the country of Babylonia, Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king, decided to set up this great big gold statue where everyone had to bow down and worship this statue. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we're not going to bow down. We're here for God. It's a bit like us and today, isn't it? That so many things want you to bow down to them. So many things want you to yield to them. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. And so we read it in verse 19 of Daniel 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent that the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. And it starts to get fun. King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? Isn't this great? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods. It was Jesus. It was Jesus who was walking them. We were singing earlier on about the impossible, weren't we? How he does the impossible. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. He's changing his tune now. Come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. Praise God. Then they were promoted. So you get the idea that Jesus may be proclaimed. We used to have people say to us, and one person even wrote to us and said, you're following Jesus. How come all this has happened in your life? Where is your God with all that's gone on? Now, do you know what people say to us now? How is it that you're able to walk through what you've been through? How is it that God has got you through? How have you managed to do this? And the answer is Jesus. It's Jesus. Praise God. They're starting to see that it's Jesus is able to take anything that Satan will throw at us and turn it round for his glory. Praise God. He thought he could get one up on us with Rebecca and Alex going home early. They're more alive than we are. Praise God. Yes, we miss them every day. Don't get me wrong. We miss them every single day. Every day we take up our cross and give it over to the Lord and say, Lord, just use this brokenness for your glory. But he's starting to do that. And we can point to the fact that it's Jesus' presence with us that has enabled us to journey on. I remember so clearly there was a time when after Alex went home, Ginny was in a very bad way. It was a very dark time, a very, very dark and hard time. Great brokenness. And I used to get up early in the morning, 1 or 2 o'clock, go downstairs and weep until I had no more tears left to weep. And one time I was down there and I felt an arm around me. It was so clear that I actually looked up. It felt so real that I looked up. And there was no one physically there, but actually there was someone there. It was Jesus. And you know what he was doing? He was weeping with me. Through all that brokenness, all that suffering, I've come to know a depth of the love of God for all that goes on. Jeannie and me together, I've come to know the depth of the pain that God feels for all the suffering in this world. A depth that we would never have known before, how God weeps and God's heart is broken for the suffering that's going on. And you might say, well, why doesn't he stop it? Well, the fact is there is going to be a day when it all comes to an end. But on that day, that is the final day. That is the day where God says enough is enough, and now there's going to be a separation of those who have rejected Jesus and those who have accepted him. Then you start to understand the mercy of God, that in all of his pain and all of his suffering, every single moment God feels the suffering in this world, he's allowing more time. And more time for what? More time for people to be rescued for eternity. Isn't that amazing? That's the love of God, the mercy of God, that he gives every day another day for people to be rescued for eternity. But don't ever think that he doesn't feel the pain. He does. He feels the pain. And it's through you and me, he says, would you be my hands and feet and reach out for those who are hurting? Those around us in our street, in our neighborhoods, those next door to us, those who have the face that says everything's all right, but you know there's not everything all right. Those who are drowning for eternity. And he said, would you reach out your hand and help them out? And that's what you're doing here. You're letting God's love pour through you to a broken, hurting world. Praise God. So we feel that brokenness. And we point to Jesus Christ. And we say we know it's all him. If we just move on to the next slide, if you will. It's all for all him. One of the things I've come to realize through this journey, it's all Jesus. The theologians talk about general grace. General grace basically is that every atom of this universe is held together by his power. And so everything good that goes on in this world is by God's grace. And everyone enjoys that. Everyone enjoys the sunsets, good or bad. Whether they've rejected Jesus and never said thank you to him, he still lets them have beautiful sunsets. He still lets them have air in their lungs to breathe. He still lets them have families to be in. He still gives them the food. All of those things he still does. That's general grace. We all enjoy his general grace. But then there's specific grace as well. It's all through him. It's from him and through him and for him and to him. Praise God. Romans 11:36-4. That's at the end of Paul's done this incredible explanation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he ends up with this incredible statement at the end. For from him and through him and for him are all things. Isn't that wonderful? To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then the Apostle Paul shows that he understood this because he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. In other words, he's saying everything I've got is only through Jesus. Yes, I work really hard, but actually when I stop and think about it, the only way I was able to work hard was because of his grace with me. It's amazing, isn't it? I've come to realize, you know, it's all we're really left to say is yes. Yes to what he asks us to do. And thank you. And thank you. You could say no, but you would be unwise to say no. It doesn't make any sense to say no. All you say is yes, Lord, whatever you want. It's Jesus that's been revealed to us, and Jesus we want to reveal. There's a phrase in the Old Testament called the balm of Gilead. You may not have heard of that. It was the oil of a very rare tree called a terebinth tree. Sometimes they used to call it the balsam tree. Another phrase they use it as they call it an oak tree. And that oil that they used to get out, that balm that used to come out of that tree, was used for incredible healing. It had incredible sources of healing, and it speaks of the blood of Jesus. And what they used to do with that tree is that they used to take it and they used to cut it. And as they cut the tree, the sap would come out, and that would be the balm of Gilead. And it was used for healing. And you see, when Jesus came on this earth, he showed us God's love. But there was a time when they cut him with those whips, and they pushed down on his head that crown of thorns so that his blood came forth. His lifeblood came forth. And in that lifeblood was his very life that was poured out for us. And it's that lifeblood that comes to us, to brings us his life. Amazing. Poured out for us. So when we go through our darkest days, our hardest days, the Holy Spirit says, I want to bring you a bit more knowledge of what Jesus poured out for you. A bit more of his life. You can understand his life a bit more. It's wonderful, isn't it, how it works. The balm of Gilead. Praise God. When Joseph was taken away, he'd been through terrible pain and terrible suffering. Remember, his brothers had beaten him up. And remember, they sold him to a group of Midianites. Those Midianites were from Gilead, and they were carrying with them balm, the balm of Gilead. What was Joseph being taken away to be prepared for? He was a type of Jesus. He was being prepared to be a savior for the known world at the time. It's amazing, isn't it? He went through 11 years as a slave and then 2 years in shackles. He was prepared for what God wanted to use him for. And when we go through hard times, what's God doing? He's preparing us for what he wants us to use us for. You won't find any person in the Bible, any person in history where God has used who hasn't been through deep pain and deep suffering. When I was in Israel in 2015, I had the privilege of being on the Mount of Olives. And I went into the Garden of Gethsemane. It was a very special moment because that's where Jesus was. There's actually an olive tree there that they believe was there in Jesus' time. And you remember what happened in the Mount of Olives. It was a time when Jesus went there just before he was going to be crucified. It's a time where God was going to see his very heart, and we were going to see his very heart, because in Luke 22 he says he was in deep, deep agony and deep, deep pain. And when we're in deep, deep agony and deep, deep pain, we have a choice to make. Are we going to turn away from what God has asked us to do, or are we going to say, your will be done? And in that moment, Jesus said, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Yet nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. It was a decision he was making to say, okay, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And during that trip in Israel, I went to Nazareth. And in Nazareth, they showed us how they used to collect the olives. And they used to produce olive oil. And olive oil in those days was incredibly valuable. Amazingly valuable. That was all they had for the oil, for lighting, things like that. And they said that the olives went through four stages of crushing. The first stage of crushing was without any involvement by humans. It was literally the weight of the olives themselves, and there used to be oil. The purest of oil used to come out of these olives. That was the stage that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, where literally his own decision of his heart, where he was saying, Lord, I'll do anything. Whatever it needs, I'm pouring out my life for you and for those who will come after me. And then, of course, you know what happened. He went through that terrible crushing as the humans got hold of him. And he was beaten and whipped and finally crucified on the cross. What was happening? His lifeblood was being taken from him, poured out that we might know his life and have forgiveness of sins. It's amazing, isn't it? So it's through his life that we, as we go through these times, it's his life that comes to us, the life of Jesus that enables us to journey on. If we move to the next one. And so it's, what does God ask us to do? He asks us to be faithful to the calling that we've got. I love this verse, 1 Peter 4, verse 10. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So the question is, God's grace in its various forms. So the question is, what has God put in our hands? His grace in various forms is, what is it God's given to us to use for his glory and for his honor? Gina and I realized that we've been given brokenness. And that's what led us. We said, okay, Lord, how do you want to use this brokenness? If Jeannie had time, maybe another time she'll be able to share. But she had an encounter with God after Rebecca went home. And she was all set to take her own life. She couldn't do 8 more years of grieving. And she utterly broken. And she went up to Rebecca's room and that was going to be the end. She was going to take her life. And as she went into this room, God turned up. And she didn't have a... She didn't see anyone physically, but there was a light that came. The presence of God, the glory of God came in that room. And God said many things to her. But one of the things he said was amazing. He said to her, Jeannie, your grief is not your own. Your grief is not your own. Amazing. And so we started to realize, okay, God, you've allowed us to go through this broken. You've carried us. We can't claim anything for us. It's all him. He's the one who carries us through, isn't it? The fact that we're here today. And those of you who are going, have gone or are going through things, we're here, aren't we? God's kept us going. God's given us the grace, his presence with us to keep going. And he's saying now, would you be faithful to use what I've put in your hands to help other people? Would you be faithful to reach out to those who are broken? And so we're doing now all across the United States, people who are brokenhearted through the loss of a loved one. And people contact us virtually every day who are broken. Maybe they've lost a child. They're going through hardship. Their hearts are broken. The captives. Captives are people who have had things happen to them through no fault of their own. Just that we live in this broken world. Maybe they've been abused as a child. Maybe they lost their health or their finances. They're just broken. They're captive to that situation. And people contact us. We have people come from, we went to, people from Nigeria came over to meet us. They were going through such brokenness. And through what God's put in our hands, we can minister to them, Jesus Christ. And we can say, I know someone who can help you in this situation. I know someone who can help you. Praise God. And so we just want to be faithful. Mother Teresa said, I don't pray for success. I just pray for faithfulness. Just be faithful. Prisoners are people who, through bad decisions, have got into a mess. They're incarcerated or addicted. There's so much addiction now. Huge addiction. Either way, God wants to come and rescue them through Jesus Christ. So he puts into our hands these different things, revelations of Jesus Christ, where we can reach out. So I've got a question to you this morning. What has God put in your hand that he's asking you to do with the revelation of Jesus Christ that he's given you, or that he's working in you for now through various situations? Just to be faithful, praise God. And that finally we'll do the last one of this stage. To share the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every way. I love this verse. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every way. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that, that's what we want to do? Is the praise that we were giving to Jesus earlier on would resound through Tufnell Park, would resound through Kentish Town, resound through London. And around the world, we live in a place called Malibu at the moment, and we're praying. We have a group of guys who come together on a Friday morning. We pray for the presence of God, an awakening to the presence of God, that light would start to come into the darkness. We're starting to see some things. You may remember Harry Weinstein, all of that situation. Some of you are nodding your head. You know what I mean by that. Darkness was being exposed. Light is starting to come. And that's what we're looking for. The very presence of Jesus Christ through his church, through you and me, will become so bright that it will become a spiritual tsunami that spreads across the world. Yes, Satan attacked us. Yes, we went through hard times. But the way God works is that he wants to take everything that Satan has done to us, redeem us, restore us, and turn it into triumph. Praise God. And we can say that, every one of us can say that in our lives. Every area that Satan has tried to attack us. Like God said to Joseph, or he said through Joseph, you intended it for evil, God intended it for good, for the saving of these many lives. And that's what we would say in our lives. We have a vision now to reach 2 billion people with the good news of Jesus Christ. 1 billion for each of our children. Hallelujah. We can't say whether they're going to get saved or not, but we can at least let people know about Jesus through our situation. And that's why we do a lot of work on social media. Was it 2 billion people use Facebook now? And just wherever we can get the message out of Jesus Christ, what we find is people listen. Because of what we've been through, they can connect, and we're able to talk to them about Jesus Christ, praise God, and point to him, because that's what it's all about. That's the grace of God. The grace of God, let's end up with this last slide. The grace of God is a revelation of Jesus Christ coming to us by the Holy Spirit. Why? To reveal the glory. The glory is his beauty, his excellence, his love. When we're going through it, we want to keep revealing his love, who fills everything in every way. Can you picture that? There will be a day when it happens, but we want to see it coming in now. Praise God. So I just want to leave you with that and thank you again. I think it would be good if I can just say a word of prayer. The Lord put on my heart just some maybe one or two people who are here this morning that God wants to come and bring the revelation of Jesus to you. And it's in the area of shame. It's in the area of shame. It says of Jesus that he, when he was on the cross, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, enduring the cross and despising or rejecting the shame. I know what shame is like. You can feel shame when things terrible have happened to you. And it seems that the whole world has stopped and people are looking. Look what's happened to them. And there's an element of shame. And the Lord said to me one day, Jared, you're not to enter into that. I've set you free from that. Through my blood and through what I've done for you, there is no shame. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I believe what the Lord wants to minister to some people this morning who feel shame. Things have happened in your life that you just feel shame about. And the Lord says, enough is enough. I want to set you free from that. I've come to set you free. I've come to turn it round, to redeem you, to restore you, to cause you to triumph so that you can help other people, so that you can help other people. So if that's you this morning, you don't have to, maybe we can pray later on, but just acknowledge it in your heart before the Lord. It's a day of triumph. This is a day of triumph for us to see the name of Jesus lifted up and him being exalted. Praise God.
So we got an opportunity for Jared and Jeannie to pray with people. I think particularly in this area of suffering, you feel the need for Jesus to come into the thing that you're going through. Whatever that is, who knows, so many different things. I'm sure they would be very, very happy. If you feel that in your heart, it would be good to ask them to pray for you, then they would gladly do that. Let's stand, shall we? if you would like Jared and Jeannie to pray for you, maybe you could just come to the front and there'll be time to do that. In the meantime... we're going to sing Amazing Grace, which is what it is, isn't it? This wonderful grace, this riches from God at Christ's expense. How sweet the sound. Let's lift up our voices and remember that it's Jesus, isn't it, that we're thanking and praising for his goodness that Gerard's talked about this morning. Amazing, amazing grace.
Okay, as we are starting, it's a very special day today. I can feel the hush falling, Elaine. Very special day today because we have some old friends who are with us today. Old in the metaphorical sense. In fact, we've got more than one or two old friends here today. Some of us just refuse to go away. So we have our very good friends, Gerard and Jeannie Long. Gerard, where are you? Gerard. And his beautiful wife, Jeannie, who's trying to look humble. trotting over. And a double blessing. We also have Mark and Sean Stubbings. Now, where is Linda? Hey, good to see you, Linda. Linda Carter, it's an old family reunion, so we're going to have a really wonderful time today. But the best person of all is Jesus. And he is the one we come to worship. We're going to sing this song. Do you want to just stand? And I just want to read this out to you. It's so good to engage in the words of the song because, you know, this is actually we're praying as we sing, aren't we? You know, we're praying to God, and it's very good to resonate with the words, isn't it? I was nowhere. Amen.
Amen.
And can anybody else say that?
That's right.
I was nowhere.
Yep.
You came to my rescue. Mm. From the grave I've been raised. When I needed a Savior to save me, Jesus, you made the way. Let's just pray for a moment, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for coming to this earth, for walking a wonderful, perfect life. Thank you for willingly going to the cross and for shedding your blood for me, for each one of us, Lord, to save us. Thank you, Lord, for coming into our lives, Lord, for rescuing us from misery and unhappiness. Thank you for giving us a purpose for living, Lord. Jesus, thank you that you were raised from the dead by your Father. And thank you that you are with us today. And you choose that wherever your children gather together, you say, there I am.
Yes, yes, Lord.
Lord Jesus, thank you that you are here in a living way to meet with each one of us. And Lord, we want to praise you and worship you today. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will help us to give you the praise and the glory that you deserve today.
Yes,
would you
Lord.
Help us to focus
yes,
on you?
Amen.
Would you help us to forget all the other things, Lord? And to just, that you would come into our mind, Lord. We give this meeting to you today, Lord. We give our hearts to you today. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Solomon finished his prayer. Fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. And when all the people of Israel saw the fire come down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed down with their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever."
Let's worship him.
I've been reading the book of John and the book of Acts, and I was really struck by Peter, the difference in Peter after Pentecost. And, oh, Lord God, the Sanhedrin, the priests, they were amazed. Everyone was amazed. They thought, is this the same man? You know, he is unschooled. So, Lord God, Lord Jesus, I really pray for us today. Thank you that you are faithful and you are the God who heareth. Please, please, please fill us with your Holy Spirit. Let us be like Peter who denied your name three times beforehand, and it seems like a few pages later, in boldly pronouncing, proclaiming your name, healing, acts of like miracle acts, healing the lame, the sick. Please transform us into Peter who will, acknowledge your name, praise your name, and give glory to you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Father. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Sandra.
We're going to take the offering as we normally do. The Bible says that the angel said to Cornelius, your gifts and your offerings have gone up as a fragrant offering to God. And so it's much more than just popping a few pence in the pot. It's this is part of our worship. So as part of our worship, let's give some more. If you want, and you're a taxpayer, there are some envelopes at the back you could put your money in, and we can get the tax back on that. But let's carry on in worshiping our God. Let's stand, shall we?
Fantastic. Would you grab yourself a seat, please? It's lovely, lovely to see you. Welcome to New Life. Today, special day in many ways, lots of different reasons. Special because we come here to worship Jesus, enjoy him. It's special because this young man here has got a birthday coming up. Anyone else got a birthday today? Let's have a cake. There's a cake coming down. It's Aini. Let's give Aini a big, big, big cheer. Oh, yes. Here it comes. Wow, look at this cake. There's so many candles. You can't be that old, surely, Aini. Goodness me. You can't be as old as me. Is Elaine going to get it down here without setting herself on fire? Is the big question. Okay, it's happy birthday to Aini. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Birthday, dear Aini. Happy birthday. Big blow, big blow, big blow, big blow. Oh! Fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. Let's just stretch out a hand of blessing towards Aini. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Aini, and we thank you for all that you have done in his life, and we thank you for all much, much more you're going to do in his life in the future. And today we pray for an extra special blessing. Pray you be with him, work in him, work through him. We want to commit him to your hands and pray, Lord, would you fill him with your Holy Spirit? Would your will and purposes work out for him this year? We pray for your goodness and your mercy and your grace filling in his life, overflowing in his life. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Give him a big round, please. Well done. Give a bow. Michelle's got a verse for the Bible for us.
Hello. You'll be pleased to know it's number 19, so we're getting there. 19 of 36. Okay, and it's a nice short one as well, which is always good. Colossians 3:3. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. It's the reverse of the world. I did it my way. Look at me. Aren't I wonderful? It's about being hidden in Christ, which is a good thing. Because if we're exposed and on our own, then we have our own sin on us. So Jesus is willing to forgive us and hide us inside himself so we can have his identity. So it's encouraging.
Thank you very much. I've got a picture for you now. Guess who this is? Oh, it's the wedding. If you missed Johnny and Joe's wedding last week, there they are, just after they got married. It's fantastic, isn't it? They're on honeymoon and they're back next week. So when they come, we give them a big round. We're very special day today, so we've got Gerard and Jeannie. Gerard and Jeannie lead us here a long, 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 long time ago. In fact, I think probably founding members of the church a long, long, long time ago. I think it goes back to 1975, I do think. I think so, yeah. That's before that, Gerard. He's forgotten. He's forgotten already. It's fantastic to have them with us. Jared's going to be sharing with us a little shortly. But they do a fantastic work. They've got a heart to bless and to work with the poor, particularly in India. And so through a ministry they've set up, we're able to, this carol service, when we collected money to be able to send out to them, to be able to spend in India. Let's give Jared and Jeannie a big warm and welcome them now. Come on down. Come and tell us what's been happening.
Thank you, Paul. And it's just a wonderful privilege to be here. Friendships are so great, aren't they? Don't you love friendships? And it's just so great to come and see our precious friends here. And we're going to be together for eternity. It's wonderful, isn't it? So there's no time in eternity. So when we're all together there, we'll just have lots of time to catch up and go through all the stories. Where's Mark? Mark was reminding me, his memory of me was having ice cream in our home. Special, was it Vinette or something? Viennetta. I don't even remember it, but Mark remembers it. Actually, I do remember it vaguely, but we'll share all those memories to eternity. Won't that be great? We'll have lots of fun. So we're going to share a little bit about what's been going on. God laid on our hearts, some of you don't know our story, but we've been through brokenness, and out of the brokenness, the Lord gave us Isaiah 61 as a going forward. He just put it on our hearts. This is what I want you to be doing for us going forward now. If you don't know Isaiah 61:1, it says, and Jesus said these words when he started his ministry. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring release for the captives, and freedom from darkness for the prisoners." And so we knew about the brokenhearted, because that's where we were from. We knew about captives, we knew about the prisoners. We weren't sure how God was going to do the poor, how he wanted us to reach out to the poor. And Jeannie wants to say a little thing as well about that.
First of all, it's amazing to be here. I just feel like my heart is pounding here, and just it's so breathtaking. And I just love the worship.
Yes.
And it was so cute with Sian. She was like, "Oh, look at Barbara on the what's that thing called?" And we were just like, you know, it was just like coming home. We just, oh my
yes.
goodness, it's
yes. you're,
the,
you.
And the love
yes.
From this side that just pours out. I'm always never sure I'm going to quite make it, but thank you for supporting us and loving us so much. But I did want to just say about the poor bit, just for a second,
yes.
if I may. We were praying at home, and we were just asking the Lord, you know, here we are, use us. And everything starts with prayer, and we just left it there. And as the Lord does, we had a phone call that day from India asking Gerard to preach. And so really that was the beginnings. And then there were lots and lots of confirmations,
yes.
weren't there?
Yeah.
And it just was such a gift that you all support these
yes.
wells and these mosquito nets and the villages. We just couldn't do it without you.
Yes.
And it's I just love you.
So it's great. So we're going to show you a little bit of what's been going on. So first of all, we want to say thank you so much for partnering with us. We're partners together in reaching the poor. You may not know this, but India is known as the land of the suffering. There's 1.28 billion people in India. They're going to overtake China by 2025 in terms of population. There's 300 million people who live on $1.50 or less a day. There's no health service there. Basically, if you can't work, you're probably going to die. They are the abject poor. They are seriously poor people. And God led us there, as Jeannie has just said. It's amazing that we should end up there. He led us to incredible partner ministries. We're not recreating the wheel. We're working with incredible groups of people who've got such a heart for Jesus. And they want to reach out to the poor and bring them good news, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we said, well, why don't we come alongside you and we'll do the social action, if you like. We'll do the work that brings you physical help. And so that's what led us to combine with them there. So we're going to share with you a little bit now on what's been going on, and particularly the village that you are actually partnering with. So what we've done is collected businesses, individuals, churches, with villages out there, you are part of it. And you can get as involved as you want. We want churches particularly and families to link up with people over in these villages. Yeah, and Jeannie's just said, we're going in August, so if anyone wants to come with us, you're very welcome. Probably the next time you see Jeannie in a video, by that, she'll have a sari on. So just be ready with that. I'm not sure about the dot on the head. I don't think we'll do that bit, but we'll do the sari probably. So thanks, Phil. We'll just go on. So what we've been doing is reaching out. We do surveys. We have a project manager out there, and they go around to the villages, finding out the villages that have got the most need. There's a lot of villages, literally millions of people, that don't have fresh water. And what happens is that they end up drinking the water that was meant for the cattle. And their children get sick and get cholera and other diseases, and then they have to spend a lot of money to try and get them healed again. They miss their education, and it's just a disaster. So you are supporting a village. I'm not sure if I pronounce it right, but I think it's called Welduthi. Okay, it's right in the center there of India. You can see that. Near Hyderabad. Hyderabad is a technological center, if you like, in India. A lot of techies there. And we go and minister, particularly at the moment, to Telangana State. All right, now, remember, there's literally millions of people all around. So next one, if you will, Phil. So this is the village, all right? There's about 450 men, about 500 women, 250 children. Their average income per family, is $4.20 a day. It's not a lot of money. And it's mainly Hindus there. There are some Muslims as well. So this is the village that you are sponsoring, you are supporting. And what we've done now, okay, if we can go on, Phil, we have bought a well in that village. So literally, through your funds, we did all the geological testing. We go to the villages, have to get permission to do it. They then say, yeah, you can do it. They then go and find out where to drill the well. And this particular well, I think I'm right in saying it went down 250 feet. So it goes down a long way till they get fresh water. And there we are, New Life Church. So your name there is in India. And every time they go to get fresh water, they're thinking of you, hopefully praying for you as well. So what you may want to do, and obviously Paul and Nick and Bob, you may want to link up some of your young people. We can link you up through WhatsApp or through Skype. And literally you can speak. And here we'll get an interpreter, obviously. They speak mainly Hindi in this, and Telugu in this village. We'll interpret for you, and you can get to know the life of the church, life of the village out there, and what happens on a day-by-day basis. Very different to here. Thanks, Phil. Just go on. So you're just going to meet some of the individuals here. So this is completely, this fresh water is completely transforming their lives. Imagine as a young mum, all right, you've got your children. And if they get sick, they may well die. You have to get up early in the morning, sometimes 5 a.m. in the morning, and they'll walk to the nearest water that they can find. And often it's dirty water. They'll put it on their head in a big metal container, and then they'll walk back to their home, hoping that water will supply their families to get through. What we now do is bring fresh water right into the center of the village. And it transforms them. Now they have time to get about their wares. Sometimes they're brilliant at embroidery and other things. Or they maybe do some agriculture. The children don't get sick, so they can have education, which is great. So it completely transforms the life of nearly 1,000 people through your funds that you provided, which is amazing. Thanks, Phil. So there they are. They're just doing the opening ceremony. They prayed over it. This is just recently, by the way. It just opened, this did. And there, you can see it's not electrical because there's not a lot of power around. It's all mechanical pump. And they pump up this fresh water to change the life of the village. Okay, thanks, Phil. So that's the village for the water. What we also do, we provide them with mosquito nets. So every home has a mosquito net. We take in medics. And so they do immunizations and they do other things. They check them up for their health. They bring in certain medicine to help them in their situation. And then we help them with food as well. So we're bringing in the love of God in a very practical way. And through it also, they get to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Because while they're in the village, they're saying, well, why are you guys doing it? A lot of them think we're the government. We have to tell them we're not the government. We're here in the name of Jesus to bless you. And there's a huge door that's been opened up for us now in India, in this most populous country, or will be shortly, in the whole world. The land of the suffering, a massive door has opened up to bring the good news of Jesus Christ. They're getting saved in their millions, literally in their millions at the moment. So you want to have an impact for the gospel, that's a great place to be ministering. And you're right in the midst of it. Now the other thing we're doing, and you had some funds that you had before. Part of our ministry is to help people who have been through human trafficking, and in particular, sexual slavery. India is the worst country in the world for sexual slavery. And this is where young girls, particularly young girls, are sold from their families. And often the parents don't know really what's going on. They're ignorant. They're sold into slavery. They can be as young as 6 or 7 years old. Every 3 minutes, a young girl is sold into slavery. In India, there's 5 million of them at the moment, as we speak. They're out there, and the average age is 12. They don't live longer than 7 years, and they'll be dead. That's going on as we speak now, and God sees that, and His heart breaks for them. And what we're doing now is to go out and to say that that's not right, and we want to see the kingdom of God come in and reverse all of that. And so we're working with a couple of ministries there. You now are partnering with us as well. You've had some funds that you've contributed. And there's several things that are going on. One of them is education, is awareness that we're doing. But particularly we're helping young girls and boys
who have been rescued. Only 1% of them at the moment are getting rescued. And what we do is we take them into a home and we give them the gospel. It's redemption, redeem them from what's gone on, we restore them, and then our vision is for triumph, is that they be turned around and go and help other people as well. So you're partnering with us in that as well. So bless your hearts. Thank you for all of that. So, Paul, thank you so much. And if you want any more questions, let us know afterwards.
Thank you so much, Jared. Brilliant. Fantastic. The children are going to make a move now. And just a reminder for Carity Wood. Carity Wood is booking fast. So parents, children, if you want to come, teenagers, Carity Wood, it's please grab a form on the information point. So Flame, Sunbeams, Tribe, now's time to make a move.